Blog Talk Radio.
You know it's all about the power!
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the FTW Future Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind Bob Rogers. With me is my co-host, the great Robert Black and Tony Motown Allen. What's up, fellas?
Hey. What's going on? Feeling good?
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling real good since Green Bay lost last night, and I'm happy about that.
Man. And at the casino yesterday when I put my money on Green Bay to lose straight up, people were looking at me like I was crazy.
Okay, no, I'm not a football fan, guys, but apparently everybody is having every NFL fan is having a damn party because Green Bay and New England got their asses kicked. So apparently the heels lost over the last 2 weeks.
Depending on what part of the country you're at. See, I never understood especially here in Indiana. They said the only reason Peyton Manning did not win more Super Bowl titles or whatever is because of Tom Brady. Tom Brady would always beat the hell out of Peyton Manning. And people in Indianapolis and stuff are really chilly about that. The thing about Green Bay, though, is where Beatonia is from, the Bears and the Packers have always been rivals since 1930-something. We hate each other. You know, it's like Purdue and IU.
Yeah.
It is like Purdue and IU.
I've lived with the IU-Purdue thing all my life because I grew up in IU country, and all of the renegades down here love Purdue. So, you know, if you want to rebel, you're always in black and yellow, so... But no, yeah. I get it. It's just, I don't know. My best friend just absolutely loathes New England because of all the controversy stuff with the...
Deflategate and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it just seems like he's one of those people that, like, hates New England with a passion and wants them to lose every game they're in. So I you see, I'm not an NFL guy, so that's really all that I see. I don't have the nuance on that.
Yeah.
So you guys know, my voice may sound a little weak tonight, and it's because I was doing the New Wave show anniversary last night, so my voice is going to be a little bit cracky.
That went well, didn't it?
Oh my God, it was unbelievably cool. I mean, the main event especially was just an absolute blast. Matthews and Dillinger just tore the place apart, literally. So,
Well, let's talk about that a little bit later after we get through with the rest of this stuff. I want to get on point real quick because I know I've been putting out there that I'm about to tear somebody a new one, and I'm about to tear somebody a new one. We got – how can I say this? I everybody knows I'm a fan of Jim Cornette, just like almost everybody is, and I do belong to this Facebook page, it's the Call the Cornette. Has a lot of discussion that goes on there about wrestling, things nowadays, things later, you know, things that are happening now, the differences between the two, you could have somewhat of a somewhat, and please understand I'm saying somewhat sometimes, but a lot of times a good intellectual conversation about wrestling and things that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into this one dude. let's just say his last, we're just going to keep it in his last name, Bell. Somebody needs to ring his bell because this dude has, I'm being serious, this dude has a very, very, what I call stuck up view of what a fan is and what wrestling is. His whole repertoire of wrestling as a whole is the biggest shithole that I ever heard in my life. And I'm sorry, I'm going to cuss, but I'm going to cuss on this one because it pisses me off so bad. We had the FTW Awards, what was it, a week ago? Or was it 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago.
And match of the year was Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't help what fans like. I thought it was, too, but for a couple of different reasons, and I'm going to explain this in a second. Because, see, he wanted to try to do this thing that political people do when they want to argue on Facebook, try to get you to argue on Facebook so they can twist stuff around and blah, blah, blah. I openly invited this gentleman to come on to the show and explain himself. I said, come on down, explain it to us. You know what I mean? And honestly, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you how dumb you sound. But come on, I mean, Rob, you know I don't bite my tongue. You know I don't bite my tongue whatsoever. And I told him, I'm going to tell you how dumb you sound, because he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying he could name 60 matches that was better than Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, and I was like, okay, go ahead, name them. So he gives me a listing of a magazine article that ranked, that had their own rankings. It's almost like what they call it, the PWI stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, it's a different publication. They had their own. And, I mean, you had one, which I honestly would say was the run for the money, and I'm surprised more of our fans didn't say this match, which was Dragunov and the other guy. I keep getting his name messed up, but it was the match on NXT was – was it, who did drug it up on Walter, wasn't it?
Yeah, Walter.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it was drug it up on Walter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was a damn good match. I will not deny that. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. What our poll picked was what our poll picked. You know what I'm saying? We can't do anything about that. But I thought, honestly, when you break down the matches, drug it up on them was good, damn good. But half the team you expected that from. I did not see the little guy that won. I'd never seen him. I haven't. I tried to tune in when he was on. Always something come up. It ticks me off. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It's like, dang. So I'm up there and I'm like, all right, I know Walter though. Walter's beast mode. You know what I'm saying? So I know what he's gonna do. What is this Dragunov, you know, this dude gonna do? And Dragunov.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, impressed the hell out of me. But I expected it from Walter, and that took half of it away from me. My thing was with Britt Baker and DMD, I did not expect that. That totally took me by surprise. That shocked the hell out of me because I am not a deathmatch person. I do not like deathmatch matches. I respect a lot of deathmatch wrestlers. A lot of deathmatch wrestlers I am friends with. Mickey Knuckles, okay? Josh Crane, you know what I'm saying? I can't think of a pretty boy
Eric
dude, but
Dillinger.
He used to wrestle W. I don't
Eric
know him.
Dillinger does deathmatch stuff. Yes.
Okay. I never met him, so I can't comment on him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I think
okay.
I seen one of his matches.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I can't comment on him. But it's another one that's down here that was in Indianapolis. He did deathmatch stuff. Josh Crane went to Japan, but I don't know about Japan. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm you know I don't know about Japan because of
I think Vinny Vachetti does blood and guts, doesn't he?
No, he just act like buzz.
Oh man.
Oh,
but
that's
no,
my
I thought that Vinny went hardcore every once in a while, but I just
he goes hardcore, but he doesn't do death matches.
Okay, okay. Well, yeah, there is a difference, come to think of it. So yes, okay.
Right. Right. You know, Tony, just to explain, Vinny Vachetti is one of my rivals. That's why he mentioned him, because he know he's one of my rivals. I mean, me and Vinny Vachetti went at it plenty of times in that ring. So, oh, yeah, that's the other thing. This Mr. Bell, and I use Mr. very loosely, he tried to say that I didn't know about wrestling. That because I don't watch the Japanese stuff, because my comment when we talk about the Japanese stuff was, and it's true, if it had that big of a market and everybody was a fan of it, some American TV station would swoop that up and have it on their program. Let's just be honest.
Yep.
America's greedy as hell, ain't they? America's going to do whatever it is they can to make as much money. And if it was that popular and that darn good, well, you had a mass of people around the world wanting to watch it. So the American TV station would be there the first thing, giving them money to do stuff and put it on their stuff. And they're not. So that tells you something right there.
It does.
Now, if we want to talk about ratio of fans, let's talk about the ratio of fans for a second. I'm going by numbers, and I picked this up off of Wikipedia. A couple of other sources, combined them together, did the average. And that's the one thing I'm great at, Mr. Bell. I'm real good at math. That's why they call me the mastermind. First off, New Japan Corporation in 2018. A subscription, if you want to be a U.S. subscriber, was $9.16. That's what, $9.99 for WWE? So what, 83 cents cheaper? So if many people can subscribe to the WWE, they should be able to pull at least half, right? You would think if it's that popular, right? July 2018 totals, 100,000 total subscribers. That's around the world, okay? 40,000 was only outside of Japan. 10,000 was American. So you're only a quarter of what the outside of Japan numbers are. And that's even 2.5 times less than what the total subscribers are. The total subscribers for the New Japan Wrestling is actually 5 times lower than any AEW show, and also, I want to say, 20 times lower than any type of WWE show. You see what the math is coming in? So my thing is, if you want to do the average, right, let's just say I looked at something and I saw that kind of grow like, what was it? It was like an average of $100,000 viewers every 3 years, okay? It's like 20,000 of the outside Japan comes on as an average. I'm just using that as an average. So $40,000 was outside of Japan in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. So you got three. Let's just give it the $60,000 increase. You got 100,000 total subscribers on the actual outside of Japan. And then, of course, 100,000 turned about 450, somewhere around there. If it was that popular, why is it actually on Access TV, not in a prime slot, and only get 200,000 viewers, which is better than the average that they grow? So if it's only 200,000 viewers, you're still getting less than half of what AEW has and only 10% of what WWE has on SmackDown. How in God's greed earth can you say that's a better match when not that many people can view it so they can go ahead and vote on it?
Yeah.
Tony, you go ahead first, and then I'll follow up.
I mean, just my opinion is, like, it's guys like him, I mean, not even the numbers and not even the product itself, though. Just guys like him kind of annoy me because it was like, it's a poll. And the whole reason that, like, one person don't pick what is the match of the year is because you want to get everybody's opinion, and sometimes it can't surprise you, and you kind of go with, like, majority rule. a guy, him, he's that type that, like, every single person is wrong and he's right. And that just really annoys me.
Yeah. Kind of like your grandma when it comes to dating.
Like, how is every single person wrong and you're the only one that know what you're talking about? And that just annoys me, though. So. But, yeah, but, I mean, if it was a better product, there would be more eyes on it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's address a few things. Number one, Mr. Bell is kind of part of an admittedly volatile and reactionary fan base. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I love Jim Cornette, and the folks that he interacts with online, they're very knowledgeable of the game. They're very knowledgeable of the industry. At the same time, though, there's this inside of that community, there is this really hostile feeling toward every other fan in the industry, and I think that this is where Mr. Bell is getting this attitude from. If you don't like, if it isn't the way that it used to be and the way he likes it, then it's not correct, and therefore it might not even be wrestling. And I don't like that attitude because it excludes a whole lot of other things from what professional wrestling is that makes it difficult to interact with other fans. And we should be at this time because we're inside of a boom period right now. And after what I saw last night, the work that I was doing with New Wave Pro, there are certain members of the Cult of Cornette who would just shit all over that show because they didn't like the venue, because there was a hardcore match, because there was too much furniture breakage, or there was, you know, just nitpicking the absolute hell out of everything. But, and that there are times when that's appropriate, and there are times when it isn't, especially when people are busting their asses in order to be part of the industry, and because they're doing it out of love and not monetary gain. But, okay, to specifically answer the Japanese question, the reason that I love New Japan and I love Japanese strong style. In New Japan's first run on Access TV, I was watching them, and there are times when strong style is really fantastic and unique, and there are other times when it doesn't work as well, and I can understand why it would not translate to a Western audience as well. But that's why ECW and AEW now, they don't work that style exclusively, and that's why a lot of New Japan people complain, because they don't, they are, basically what AEW is a mix of American, Japanese, and Mexican professional wrestling mixed into the melting pot, and this is what we get. And It's not always right, but it's unique. And the reason that AEW is catching on more than just straight up New Japan in America is because it's got more to it than just one style. Strong style is New Japan, and strong style only appeals to a certain demographic in the American audience, and that's why That's why the viewership is not that high, and that's why something like Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker got more eyeballs than anything that New Japan had on for 2021. And that's
exactly.
That's probably unfair in our market, but that's the market, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And the reason that Thunder Rosa Baker won on our poll is because the vast majority, I would say probably 99.9% of our audience is American. So, you know, that's one thing.
Thank you. And I honestly, I was actually going to lie into him worse than this, but with you two speaking, I really don't even have to, because it shows it's not just me. I'm not stupid here. But my thing that bothers me is that when you have that upper attitude because you don't watch a certain thing or you don't watch it a lot, that you're not this or you're not that. Let me tell you something, buddy. 100%. I don't just watch it like you do. I've been in that ring. Rob has called some of my matches. Rob has seen me in action.
Yeah.
I put my body on the line. I've done matches. I've been in that ring. I'm not Stone Cold. I'm not The Rock. I'm nowhere near that. But I made a difference. I did what I would do to go in that ring and do what I did.
Well, I
and for you to try to tell
you
me,
Junkyard Dog.
Oh God. Oh. Anyway.
Well, that's not an insult. I promise
no,
you.
No, I don't think it's an insult. It's just somebody else said that. It's just flipping me out.
Well, anyway,
but
no, the point is you pay, it's for somebody to not call – for someone to accuse you of not being a real fan when you've actually been a part of the industry and paid your dues, that's kind of a low blow, yeah.
And think about this, though. I have been in every aspect of the business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I haven't just been a fan. I haven't just carried clothes to the back. I haven't just did timekeeping. I haven't just ring announced. I haven't just sat up there and did music a couple of times. I didn't sit up here and just
commentary.
I didn't sit up here and do interviews. I didn't sit up here and just sit up there and take tickets at the front door. I didn't sit up there helping the concession stand. I didn't sit up here and have a match against people that shocked the hell out of me. I didn't just have a match against Tracy Smothers. I did not only that, but I was part of production. I actually helped run shows. I actually ran my own shows. I have done every single thing you can do in this business except kiss ass. And I don't give a shit if you like fuck. It's the damn truth. Rob, tell Tony, I have somebody else tried to pull something like this, and we ended up running a show in their building. Am I lying?
No, you're not lying. But it was, yeah, you've worn every hat. I've watched you do it. So yeah, to call you not a fan is like trying to call Bobby Knight not a coach because he threw a fucking chair. That's
right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I apologize for the F bomb, but you know, when a friend gets disrespected, it kind of pisses me off. But
well,
I just,
my thing is this, and I just want to cut this short. I just want to get through with this and cut this short.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bell, let me tell you something. You need to look at yourself when you talk about a fan, because a fan of wrestling is every creed, every color, everything. Wrestling is not about, because we had another discussion about muscular guys and how everybody should be muscular, and Eddie Kingston is a piece of trash because he doesn't have an 8-pack. Eddie Kingston could probably take your wife and do a couple of things with her that the FCC will block me out for.
Oh God, man! Wow, that was harsh. But
no, but I'm just being serious because Eddie Kingston is a wrestler. He does what he's doing. He might not be perfect in everything he does, but guess what? He puts his heart and everything in that ring when he does what he does. And that's what a wrestler is. Not sitting up here looking like some muscular god type dude. No.
He doesn't Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston is an old-school New Yorker and would, like, eat the eyeball out of somebody's head if they screwed with him for a shoot. That's
exactly.
That's his appeal. And if you read if Mr. Bell read the article that Kingston wrote, you can tell that the guy is both articulate in his own way and knows inside out how to entertain people in the industry. I mean, to say that Eddie Kingston isn't shit because he isn't toned, well, that's what he knows about the industry you can't teach. And you could put somebody in the gym for like 8-9 months and make them look like the Ultimate Warrior, but if they get in the ring and wrestle like the Ultimate Warrior, they're going to get started on.
Preach it, brother. Preach it. I ain't even got to pull up to the pulpit. Rob doing it for me.
Lex Luger came to my mind, but yeah, Warrior's a better example.
Oh no, Lex Luger made the Ultimate Warrior look. I got that reversed. The Ultimate Warrior made Lex Luger look like Ray Stevens. Okay,
yeah.
I'll say that for you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, that's why I'm happy about the Warrior because when I was thinking. But no, that's spot on, though, because, I mean, Luger popped into my head, but when you said Warrior, I'm like, that is the perfect example. The perfect one.
Yeah. The sorry thing is that Elegante made the Ultimate Warrior look like Ric Flair. So there's a scale here.
There is. But I'm going to close it off with this. Mr. Bell, you have no idea what you're talking about. Your stuck-up attitude is going to get you in a world of disappointment and hurt. Dude, don't do that again. Don't be on those special boards saying that stuff because you just got embarrassed. You just got embarrassed, dude. And I didn't even have to do as much as I thought I would have to even prove anything. Because I didn't even have to say nothing. They said it for me.
And he had a boss accept your invitation to come on the show.
Oh yeah, of course. He tucked his tail and ran. So my thing is this, dude. I'm not gonna say don't ever call yourself a wrestler fan. Don't ever judge anybody because of what they like because they are a wrestler fan. Because you're not the only one, and you and your clique or whoever the three or four people you might have as your friend might agree with. Sit up here and look at people for what they can do and who they are rather than what your ideal is.
Well, we're all supposed to be fans of professional wrestling, and there's no need to be antagonistic to that kind of point. So, especially since you've paid your dues, and just because you don't watch a whole lot of New Japan or didn't what was the Walter match that he was talking about?
No, Walter Dragunov. I actually watched that match, though. I did watch that match.
Oh, yeah. Well, Walter Dragunov is a good match, and I've seen Dragunov in action, and I know what they're talking about. The reason that he got such a hard-on for that match and for the fact that it was ranked highly in that other publication is because it was really, really old school. And the Cult of Cornette.
No, it was ranked number one in the old in that publication.
Well, yeah, because it was a really old school match, and the folks that are of that flavor of fandom really, really love old school, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just there are other legitimate fans of professional wrestling, and it annoys the piss out of me when somebody thinks that if it's not the way it used to be and the way you like it, that it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Okay, so I think we filleted Mr. Bell quite sufficiently.
Not really, but I'll take it. Anyway.
Only because we got better stuff to talk about than Mr. Bell and his narrow views.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, like this Royal Rumble coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Well, let's talk about the shows this week and then get to the Royal Rumble, because I'm going to be a downer. I'm just going to be a downer. especially when it comes to WWE.
I'm going to be a downer. Rumble, but I don't think WWE is going to give me what I want, though. So it is what it is.
Do they ever give us what we want?
Well, not while there was a monopoly, no. But since the monopoly is now pretty much dead, they're going to have to pretty soon, or else their ratings are going to go further into the toilet.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is very true.
That's definitely true. I don't know.
That's,
but did anybody get to watch Raw?
I didn't get a chance to, no.
Okay, so that ends that one, because I tried to and I fell asleep on it.
Oh, God. Well, see, that's the problem inherently with having a pay-per-view every month. Number one, everything becomes formulaic. And you can number two, they're always compounding to the next show. If they would go back to the seasonal formula that they had and at least have five pay-per-views every year instead of 13, then there would be some good build to it. I mean, even if it was just every other month and they had a Saturday night main event and got a new contract with NBC, instead of always having the pay-per-view to build Raw with, then you could have Raw, Saturday night's main event, and the pay-per-view every 3 months, and it would at least, it might still be formulaic, but it would still build to a climax instead of being a crappy commuter flight to Buffalo every 30 days.
Ooh, Buffalo. Ooh.
Not that I'm trying to disparage Buffalo. I've never been there, but I've been on a crappy commercial flight, so I know that experience.
Oh God, I just couldn't do it.
I think the bigger problem than too many pay per views is 3 hours is too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not creative enough for a 3 hour show. The reason why people can't stay awake for 3 hours is because they're not creative enough to keep your attention for 3 hours.
No, they are not.
Part of the reason I think SmackDown's a better show is because it's only 2 hours. You add an hour to SmackDown, and it ends up being a snooze fest.
Here's what I've never understood. The WWE has the deepest roster in the world, and they can't fill 3 hours with wrestling from the workers that they have. Instead, they fill half of it with garbage, and it drives me nuts.
My thing is, if they really like had a good storyline that they could go off as a main and a secondary good storyline, that they could do a show with the guys that you're trying to bring up and have them go against, you know, guys to make it competitive, have the main guys have a match every once in a while to where they're facing job guys and dominating them, and the matchups face each other, you know. I mean, the matchups face each other later on, but they're always working towards each other, and they don't do that. I mean, I remember seeing – I mean, I would wonder why a match would only be 5 minutes when I was 10 years old. But now I understand it. You know what I'm saying? Why didn't they sit up here and have a match to where you know, this guy's getting looked at, put him out there, give him 5 minutes, and he smashes him, you know, to prove his dominance. Because it was, his dominance was more believable then. You know, it's not believable anymore because of all the switching.
Well, see, there's a place for enhancement talent, and I understand that. And granted, you can't really do that on Raw or Dynamite anymore. It needs to be competitive for ratings' sake, and they can't really do what they used to do with TV tapings back in studio wrestling days. But it's still... There's still value to building someone up as a big threat, and I get that. But when it comes to Raw and the WWE's current format, there is a way to make that fresh. It's just they don't use the people that they have that can make that happen. Instead, they're too worried about getting over gimmicks. And gimmicks, I read this a long time ago about the pre-Attitude Era of WWF. Gimmicks sell T-shirts, but personalities sell tickets.
Yes.
And they're reverting back to selling T-shirts again because and granted, merch is important, but it's not as important as the quality of the in-ring product.
Because how you gonna get them interested in the merch when the product is crap?
And it bleeds.
Because I actually did watch Raw, and that was the problem I had, though, is the fact that, like, it was, I want to say it was god-awful. But I mean, it wasn't really that. It wasn't really a good show, though, and it was really a letdown considering we're leading into WrestleMania season.
I do kind of like what they're doing
with Nikki A.S.H. on the show because they haven't heard. They kind of have heard like what we discussed a couple weeks ago, what you brought up with Cody Rhodes being a heel, but think he's a babyface because Nikki A.S.H. still thinks she's a superhero, thinks she's still the good person, but kind of playing that heel role, which I really like. So I'm kind of hoping they don't drop the ball with that. But with WWE's track record, I know they haven't dropped the ball with that.
Well, see, that's the most frustrating part of it of all. There are good things on Raw and SmackDown. There's good things in the WWE product in general. The problem is...
Like, Dewdrop looks good. Like, they made her look like a monster heel.
Yeah, I mean, there's really good stuff. It's just that you have to swim through a sewer drain worth of tainted water in order to get to it. That's the problem.
Raw comes on at 8 o'clock. I tune in about 9:30 on DVR.
I really can't blame you.
I can't blame you either.
No.
I've tried. Again, I've tried. It just, like, AEW can keep my attention. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
I don't know what it is, but they keep my attention.
Here's my biggest problem of all. As much as people shit on NXT 2.0, I could watch that before Raw.
You can watch NXT
2.0. I can tolerate 2.0 more than Raw right now.
I can't even tolerate NXT 2.0. Oh my God! What's wrong with me, man?
No, there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the product.
But here's the crazy thing, though. We're sitting here debating over which show is better between NXT 2.0 and Raw.
Well, that's because they've only just begun messing with NXT. That's why.
Yeah.
NXT is still watchable, whereas Raw is like the flagship show and is like in the deepest as far as the creative team is concerned.
Yeah.
They're still messing around with the NXT, and they're going to make it worse.
See, McMahon would kill me if I was on his team because – I'd have so many guys there that was of different proportions. He's like, what are you doing? Well, I got wrestlers that can actually bring you some money. But look at him. He looks like, yeah, look at him. So what? Well, I can't jack off. I don't have any lotion. You know, I mean.
My God.
I mean, it bothers me because I look at somebody like, and you know who I'm talking about, Rob, when I say this. He'll Billy Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Jack can work in the ring like I don't know what. And he's a heavy guy.
Yeah.
But he won't get two looks because this dude is a heavy guy. They just assume, oh, he's going to be like crap. And then he gets in the ring and outperforms like, oh, my God. What the
he
heck?
Moonsaults.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Another one. Hold on. Calvin Tankman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another one. Calvin Tankman. Big dude. Can work, can move, can do the thing, can be that heel of heels. But because of the way he looks, he can't get a shot. Are you serious? WWE didn't even, when he went to trial for the WWE, it was nothing. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Tankman got a shot at developmental?
Yeah, it was like a year ago or so, a year or two ago.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was right before the pandemic.
And they passed on him.
Yeah. This is my thing.
Oh, man.
If we remember wrestling back in the day, and I hate saying back in the day, it's basically like I want it to be like the old days. I'm not. But there are certain fundamentals you can't get around with basketball. You can't run with the basketball like you do football. You got to dribble the ball. You know what I'm saying? There's just something fundamentals of wrestling you can't get around. And one of them I so heartily believe is you can't have everybody looking the same.
Nah.
You can't have everybody muscle bound. You got to have that big guy in there. You got to have that little skinny little tadpole in there. You got to have a mixture, a diverse mixture, because you want them to think of the people as just like they down the street and they can relate to them. You know, and, you know, larger than life. I'm sorry, I hate that term because, you know, life is large enough. We get too much drama in life as it is. We don't need to be larger than life. You know.
Honestly, can we look at the wrestler's body here? And when we're going, and I'm going to go back to the 80s when I first started watching wrestling. And I'd be, and on the show, NWA on WTBS Saturday nights, the Road Warriors and Ric Flair hooked me. But I'll be honest with you, when Dusty came out there, Dusty Rhodes is not like, he don't have like your typical wrestler body.
Mm-mm.
And he's one of the greatest of all time for what he could do in the ring and the shit he could do on the mic.
Yep.
And to your point, kind of jumped in my head, you could relate to him. Like Dusty Rhodes, you feel like you could beat him.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Ric Flair, I'm not Rolex wearing, jet flying, but I'm more of a Dusty than a Nate.
I ain't gonna lie.
There's
when I was younger, I was thinking like Ric Flair. I was. I wanted the Rolex. I wanted the lift.
No, it was like
I was there, dude.
Dusty, no, Ric Flair was the dream, and Dusty was the reality.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with looking athletic, and I understand, but I understand where you're coming from, that different body types are important and different skill levels are important, but the personalities is what draws people in. You mentioned Dusty Rhodes. I loved Dusty Rhodes when I started watching in 86, and Dusty. He was in the late summer, early autumn of his wrestling career, and he was still captivating because he talked like everybody else that I knew talked, and the guy was down to earth. But I also loved Hulk Hogan, who you couldn't relate to because he was a superhero. And but
yeah,
just
a little bit in my mouth.
What's that? I realize that Hogan gets a lot of hate today, but in 1986, he was a superhero that righted the wrongs.
No, I get that. Back then, everybody loved him. I was back in 86 when he was a superhero. I didn't like him then, and people looked at me like I was crazy.
I wasn't the only one. I wasn't the only one. Are you serious?
No, there were
okay.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who hated Hogan even then because they liked...
Hogan had a whole lot of love. It's just like, people look at me like I was crazy. Like, how do you not like Hulk Hogan? Hogan's not...
No, there were plenty of Hogan haters back then, my best friend among them. Of course, that was more like later. After he lost to the Warrior at Mania 6, he like really embraced his Hulk Hogan hate. But... look at the heroes of the day, Jerry Lawler. I mean, that guy was never athletic. He never had a six-pack, and he, still has that town in the palm of his hand. Wildfire Tommy Rich. That guy never – it's all about the dynamics of a personality.
Bobby Eaton.
Yes.
No. Let me say something real quick. Cause you're gonna laugh when you hear this. Cause anybody that listens to Cornette's podcast know why this didn't happen. But he was saying his example was, why do you think Bobby Eaton didn't get the championship because of his build? This is what I remember off of Cornette's own podcast. The only reason he didn't, because he didn't want to have a, what do they call it? It's like a singles travel schedule that you have to go through. He didn't he didn't want to do the schedule, and also, and he was making enough money with the Midnight Express. They were main event.
Oh, yeah.
So why would he need to have the title? He doesn't want to have the title. Half of a match for the same amount of pay.
Yeah.
Almost. You know what I'm saying? A little bit less.
Yeah, the schedule for the NWA World Heavyweight Champion was absolute murder. That's why back in the territory days, the one or two or three guys were the perennial champions like Flair and Harley Race, because not everybody had the physicality to handle going all around the country and all around the world defending that thing in different territories. Flair was a cardiovascular dynamo. He was a freak of nature cardiovascularly. So he could go out and party all night, wrestle a one-hour Broadway with a guy who was just as good as he was, and then go out drinking again that night and not have a problem until he was 70 years old and his heart nearly stopped. So, but that's what they were talking about.
Normally kill people before 50, so it is just amazing he made it 70 doing that stuff.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, the reason Bobby Eaton was never a world heavyweight champion, it wasn't because he didn't have the tools. Obviously, he did. He was one of the greatest of all time in the ring.
Yeah.
It's just he found a niche, and he stuck with it. Kind of like Lawler did in Memphis. He found a way to make a shitload of money, and why stop a good thing? Lawler didn't need to go from territory to territory. He homesteaded where people loved him, and he became a legend because of that.
And I remember on Cornette's podcast a couple of times, I remember him telling a story about how they were going around and Ric Flair was doing the booking, and Ric Flair wanted to give Bobby Eaton the title for a little bit, but Bobby Eaton, there was already some Midnight Express stuff, and Bobby didn't want to handle all of that. He turned it down, actually. I also remember if you don't know this, but when WCW was going around and Bobby Eaton was still there and Goldberg came around, the streak was supposed to actually end before Hulk, who was it, Kevin Nash or Hogan or whatever the NWO did?
Kevin Nash.
The Street
Kevin Nash with the,
right,
with the taser.
Goldberg actually requested that Bobby Eaton break his streak, and they wouldn't do it.
Well, you know, speaking of somebody
who had... So if you got that type of respect...
Yeah.
If you got that type of respect, there's no question that he could have been
like, and that was a huge Goldberg fan back then, though, but, like, to have that kind of respect from a man, to be honest with you, as much as I like Goldberg, to have that kind of respect from a man who didn't really respect the business like he should have back then. So that's
yeah, Goldberg wanted him to break the streak, and they wouldn't let him do it. They wouldn't even let Bobby Eaton do it.
You notice
and
that we stopped talking about WWE a long time ago?
Yeah.
That shows you what the current product is right now. We would rather talk about things that happened 25 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, than we want to talk about WWE.
Yeah, WWE,
they're
like toilet paper right
now. Show about old school wrestling back then and run out of time.
Yeah, we could. We definitely could.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask y'all a question. We're going to take a little sidebar on this while we're at the old school wrestler thing. What was the very first match that you remember seeing that you really took to?
For me, it was a... I don't know if it was the Monkees or it was some other job tag team. I remember it was like it was yesterday. I was a kid. It was back in the early 80s. I came to the house. My stepdad was watching wrestling. These little skinny guys were in the ring, and Warriors came out and beat them in like 5 seconds. I'm just like, who are they? And then my stepdad was like, have a seat. Been hooked ever since. The Warriors beat them boys in like 20 seconds.
Wow.
I just remember that was the first professional wrestler I ever watched, and I was hooked ever since. And then later on, Ric Flair came out too. Everybody's booing. I'm like, why are they booing him?
I remember the very.
So tell me, what was your first match?
Oh, I remember it completely. The very first match that I ever saw, and this is on YouTube actually. It was AWA on ESPN, and this was the middle of 1986. It was Playboy Buddy Rose and Pretty Boy Doug Summers versus a guy named Jesse Hernandez and somebody else named Leon the Baby Bull White, the guy who would go on to be Vader. So in a way, the first match I ever watched was historic, and it's actually pretty hilarious when you go back and watch it, because Rose and Summers were selling really well for Leon, but when poor little Jesse Hernandez got tagged in, and he was a frumpy jobber guy, and Rose and Summers just ate him for breakfast. But when he made the tag to Leon, the Summers and Rose would double team him, and they would lose the double team. So, you know, they were really – Vern Gagne apparently saw a lot in Leon White and tried to push him, but apparently he got bought up by somebody else real quick. He ended up in Japan, and the rest is history. But the rest of that card had Larry Zbysko on it, and Sheik Adnan LKZ, Bruiser Brody, and Sergeant Slaughter. And like every other 10-year-old in 1986, I knew who Sergeant Slaughter was, and once I saw that, you know, I was in. And I'm still addicted today.
And it's funny, I think about the rest of the card, because I remember when I watched WCW Saturday Night for the first time. And as we call my body, it kind of hit me in the head, though, because back then, Jake the Snake was part of the Legion of Doom. You know, you got this long, freaky guy that was slithering into the ring. But the one person who always did it for me, though, and he was on our show back then, was Barry Windham. And this was, like, before Barry Windham was, like, a huge, huge star. This was before, like, he wrestled Ric Flair for, like, 60 minutes, but his matches are so fluid.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, I saw some of that stuff when it happened. The matches between Wyndham and Flair, when you go back and watch them in full, they were great even in clips, but when you go back and watch them in full, they're just like artwork.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to this. My path is kind of weird. My mom was real strict back in the day. I loved her death, but she was real strict. And Saturday afternoons, Tony, I know what I'm talking about. It was Channel 32, Channel 50, Channel 66, 26. They still got those, right? Those channels out there? Okay.
I'm sure they do.
I used to watch a channel, and wrestling just came out. It was like a WWF thing, and I remember Bret Hart. But then I remember Saturday Night's Main Event. They kept talking about the Saturday's Main Event. So I'm like, all right. It got me like, okay, I need to see what this is about. And my mom actually let me stay up, because she would always have to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night. She actually let me stay up, pop me some popcorn, so I could watch the show. It was Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC. The main event was Hulk Hogan versus the Power Driver dude, Paul Orndorff.
When you said Saturday Night's Main Event, I was thinking that was about to pop in my head when you said Hogan.
Was it in a steel cage.
Piper broke Adonis's arm.
I don't remember that one. I just remember the Hogan match. Because they both landed at the same time. They both landed at the same time. And it was controversy, like, who won? And then they had to restart the match over again.
Oh, your first Saturday Night's Main Event was the Hogan-Orndorff cage match. One of my favorite cage matches of all time. Especially at the end when Hogan makes Bobby eat the cage. When Heenan just went whole hog with that shot, and he cross-bodied the cage, and it looked like Hogan had broken his ribs. It was magnificent.
Yes.
That was your first Saturday Night's Main Event. Wow.
Yes, it was. I remember that match. And then I got interested. I was like, okay, I want to see this. And then that's when I found World Class Championship Wrestling. And I found Ric Flair. I was Ric Flair to Midnight Express.
Yeah.
I loved Ric Flair to Midnight Express. Those are two that I liked. You know, and Jim Cornette.
For World Class Championship Wrestling, as much as everybody loved the Von Erichs, I tune in every week for the Freebirds. Bad Street USA.
I remember them. See, you know, I remember them more in UWF than I did WCW.
Michael PSA's fan.
Oh.
See, you guys loved the heels. That's the difference between you guys and me. You guys loved the heels, the Flairs, the Michael Hayes's, and the men. Well, they were cool dudes. Well, maybe, but
how many wrestlers did their own theme music?
I'm not going to argue that, but yeah, the Freebirds were one of the first to use it. I just liked the faces more. I liked the Hogans. I liked the JYDs. I liked Dusty, Magnum, and those guys more.
Dusty always got my respect. Always did. But I love Flair. It was something about Flair that got me.
Yeah, there's an appeal for that. Understand that. It's just I always liked seeing the bad guys get their asses kicked. And that brings me to a story that you guys are probably going to love. The first live Okay. I was the biggest Hulk Hogan fan in the world in 1988.
I'm
sorry. this is going to make you laugh harder because this is like karma against me, okay?
Okay.
So in 1988... 87, 88, I was the biggest Hulk Hogan fan in the world. I was WWF came first to me because I loved Hogan, okay? And I know that makes me a typical Hulkamaniac kind of guy.
Mm.
The first live card, first live wrestling that I ever went to just happened to be February 5th, 1988. The
really?
Night of the double referee thing.
Yeah.
I was the biggest Hulk Hogan fan in the world, and I happened to be in the arena the night that he loses the damn title because of the Hepner crap. Oh.
That's a classic night.
It was, but I was depressed because I thought it was my fault Hogan lost.
Never mind. I forgot. Like, I probably enjoyed that more than you did. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
How you feel about Hogan, though. That was still a classic night in wrestling history, though.
Well, yes, it was. It was, and it was a great card overall, because of the. They had Jake Roberts versus Harley Race. They had a rematch between the Hearts and Strike Force. It was a great night of wrestling. It's just there was that one Debbie Downer, and for years I felt like I was a jinx to Hulk Hogan. And that's why I only saw him wrestle live twice, and the other time was at WrestleMania 8, and he won by disqualification because of interference. Something went wrong.
Hogan.
So we need
you
to
guys...
go to more Hogan matches, is what you're saying.
well, he's retired
definitely...
now. There will be no more Hulk Hogan matches.
I said now back in the day,
thank
we
goodness.
Need to go to more.
I thought you guys would get a kick out of that.
Honestly,
yeah,
no matter
Hogan
how you look at
yeah.
Hogan, though, I mean, yeah, I get from the Hogan fans, it was kind of like a Debbie Downer night. But that was a good card, though. That was a good night of wrestling.
Yeah, that was. That was definitely a good night of wrestling. I think I can only say one night of live wrestling is better than that, and that's what when we went to see AEW. I mean,
I haven't seen AEW live yet, and it's sus because like with their them being on Wednesdays. It's hard for me to get to Chicago for those shows.
I know. We went to All In.
Yeah.
There was magic in the air there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That very first All
In
was awesome.
Yeah, there was magic in the air that night. It wasn't perfect, but the audience was just hungry for something different, and you could tell that it was the beginning of something big.
Yeah,
it was it that
but
night.
My next wrestling event is actually here in Indianapolis. So Raw's gonna be here on Valentine's Day.
I don't know if I want to see that or not.
Here's the problem: the way originally I was like, okay, cool. No, Brock Lesnar got the title. Paul Heyman to be there. Like, I was really looking forward to it at first, thinking like Brock and Paul Lee would be there. But the way things are looking, he's not gonna be on Raw. At the Rumble.
Wow.
Well, when you think of it,
wow.
Valentine's Day is the perfect day to massacre or something.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, it's the perfect day to line up people against the wall and shoot them.
I've seen WWE in Chicago plenty of times, and AEW always go all out in Chicago. Chicago is that city where they, like, no matter what, whether it's AEW, WWE, they always put on a good show.
Chicago is a great wrestling town. And in
yeah,
the, in the, in the Yeah, in the mid to late 60s, it was a really hot territory because of Bruiser and Crusher and because the AWA frequented there.
Yes, right there on Route Street, the amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
At the amphitheater?
Man.
I would have loved to have been there live. I really would have.
I don't know, man, but I'm going to say this. Wrestling, I mean, nowadays, it's just so much of a choice. There's so many different demographics. We should be appreciating the differences we got. I think...
And the thing with wrestling today was that kind of take me back to that one sandal. It was just like, you don't have to watch the same thing to be a sandal because there's just so many options out there. And the nice thing, the fact that there's so many options out there is because if you don't like this, you can watch this and be a fan. Like, you don't have to watch the same thing that I watch to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. That's why so many people love the territory era, because every promotion was different. And we're kind of coming back to that, really. Speaking of Chicago, there is an independent promotion that's made a big name for itself called Freelance up there. And they're making a real big name for themselves. And the independent circuit, the territory days never really left. And that's why you get so much variety outside of network television. But even on the networks, even for big television, the variety is coming back. And you're kind of seeing that in the WWE too, but it's very, very slow to operate. They're still on cruise control, and that's what we're, you know, that's why we're kind of dreading the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I can't wait for us to get to the Royal Rumble prediction.
I'm definitely dreading that. I don't understand how you could be a company with all this talent and put up the crap. And that's what it is. It's crap. It's not even natural crap where it could regenerate into the ground and grow some flowers or something. This is like toxic waste crap. You can't do nothing with it. And you have this talent and put them, your writers are terrible. I mean, I'm sorry. My daughter could think
but
of better storylines than this.
Because, like, not only with them stripping out Triple H from NXT, though, but you know, Triple H has the art condition and everything hasn't been there, though. In my opinion, you could see a difference with him not being there and the difference they could. Like, and we all looked at him like just being an NXT guy, though, but in my opinion, the quality of the main roster still has dropped since he's been out.
Oh, it bottomed out.
Yeah, once
they start saying that they're not picking up indie wrestlers, but they're going to get athletes and blah, blah, blah to do this, they just shot themselves in the foot. There's just no way. Unless you got somebody like a Bron Breakker. It's gonna make anybody
like,
say, "Oh yeah."
I like how he's coming along. I think they're rushing it with him, but you know he is one of the bright spots of 2.0. But it's just like, but you just like handed AEW ammunition to beat you though, with everybody you let go.
And
I know it's gonna take a lot for AEW to like actually be able to say, okay, they beat WWE, but. But Jesus Christ, you're feeding the competition well.
Well,
yeah, it's an absolute mess with them.
I want to pose this question because I think it's something to be asked. You know, everybody's on the demographics. You know, you try to get this age group to watch this age group to watch this age group to watch. Do you think what they're doing is they're trying to start by getting their face in front of smaller kids and have them grow. So we'll let this generation go with them, but we're going after the ones behind to get more long-term money.
But, yeah. because that's from a business standpoint, that's smart. Because you look how WWE was marketed. Granted, I was more of an NWA person, though, but I did watch WWE, too, and WWE brought you in as a kid. And those kids stayed fans.
Mm-hmm.
It is a demographically and market wise, it is a very, very good strategy to target younger. The problem is that you've got to know what that younger audience wants.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, a kid like me loved superheroes and action and building to excitement and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Today,
like me and Bobby are not the norm for kids when we were younger. Like we were like mm-hmm. the rebels, but for marketing, you're the one they're going after.
Well, yeah,
mm-hmm.
back in the day. But I think we can all agree that 10 to 12-year-olds, like 10 to 14, the kids that age today are a whole lot more complicated than we were.
Yeah.
And so The different kind of thing is needed to appeal to them. And whatever WWE is doing is not accomplishing that. If I were 12 years old today, okay, I started watching when I was 9, but it still applies. If I were in that key demographic today, people who wanting to hook those people, wanting to hook kids in to be long-term fans, I would be watching guys like Moxley, be watching guys like Darby Allin. I would
mm-hmm.
be watching guys like Adam Page. Now, Adam Page is no Hulk Hogan. He's a completely different character altogether, and that's probably a good thing. But
yes.
Adam Page would appeal to me today if I were a teenager the same way that Hulk Hogan appealed to me when I was 10, 11 years old back then. Today, Adam Page... Yeah, Adam Page is a good thing for a kid. He's cowboy shit. He stares down the heel, and there's a lot of potential there. Whereas on the other side of the coin, if you were 10, 11 years old today, who would appeal to you in the WWE? That's a crucial question.
Hmm. Honestly, 10 or 11 years old, if you had Nia Jackson and everything around, I'd be trying to look at Nia. I'm just saying.
Okay, let me rephrase that.
I mean,
I'm just being honest.
I'm gonna answer this honestly, and it's an unpopular answer, but it's the guy that's Simon Scuso as a kid, especially in the role they're in right now, Brock Lesnar.
No, I would never take Lesnar. I know that for a fact. I would never take Lesnar. No, Lesnar would have been my biggest turnoff because
well,
I would have wanted to whoop his ass.
Not to me personally, but I see what you mean, Tony, because...
I'm talking about, like, as a 10-year-old kid, this is this badass that just come up once in a blue moon, and when he comes in there, he dominates. It's almost Hogan.
A lot of people
sit on his part-time schedule. Hulk Hogan worked that fucking same schedule.
Oh, no, I don't sit on him because of his schedule. I sit on him because of him. I'm sorry. I don't like him. I don't like him. Understand this. If it wasn't for Paul Heyman standing next to him, I don't like him. I don't give a shit if he was in UFC or whatever three-letter MMA organization you want to put in it. He could have been doing judo with all the girls.
You take away Paul Heyman, I'm the same way, though, because I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
No,
okay,
because
now,
guess what he reminds me of? And Tony, you can relate to me on this one. He reminds me of the rich, snobbish-ass students that's out of them suburban schools that's rich as hell. That's what Lesnar reminds me of. He reminds me of that snot-nosed dude on the football team that mama's got money, and I live in a $750,000 home, and I think all of y'all are a piece of shit. That's what he reminds me of. I would want to whoop
okay.
his ass.
And now,
I wouldn't
want
to be. I wouldn't look up to him. I'd be trying to beat his ass.
Now, as a 44-year-old salty old fart here, I agree that I don't like Lesnar because of his personality. There are a lot of things about Brock Lesnar that irritate the hell out of me. But I do see Tony's point that if I were 10, 12 years old and just saw Brock Lesnar go in there like Austin and occasionally beat somebody's ass and then leave again like the Phantom in the Night, I would probably like him. That doesn't
Shit,
mean
let him
that's
walk,
a good
let him
thing.
Let him try to walk through where I lived at 11, when I was 10 or 11 and try that shit. He wouldn't make it out.
Well, I understand that, Bobby. I mean, I get where you're coming from there, but you were a unique individual, whereas I was just a poor old white boy sitting down here in Indiana trying to get laid. So that's
I don't even think he can walk through there and do anything. I think Axie Lesnar is a punk. I think he's a closet punk. I don't think he's hard at all. I think he has no heartbeat. If you corner him by himself, he will pee in his pants. That's what I see in
life. Wow. Okay.
If that punk was talking shit to me and talking about, oh, I'll whoop your ass, let's go. Let's go outside right there. And I bet you he wouldn't even do it. He'd be like, I know I talked, but what am I supposed to do now?
Shit, man. Well, I don't know.
But,
I mean, I'm
dude.
Not a...
But we are talking about former UFC champion.
I don't give a shit. That shit was set up all day long. I don't believe that shit. I don't believe he was a UFC champion. Fuck
him.
They gave him that shit. I think that was like one of the fucking Floyd Mayweather fights. Look who he fucking fought. He fought old dudes that was on their way out of the fucking UFC.
Well, see, I've got my own bone to pick with Floyd Mayweather because he's he completely screwed up WrestleMania 24 for me. I hated
that
the Big Show had to lay down for him. If I had been booking that match, it would have lasted 30 seconds. He would have sat on Mayweather's chest, and that would have been the end of it.
There's no way, though. There's no way back then you thought he was going to lose. There's no way. The way WWE books.
There was no way you would think who would lose.
Floyd in that match. Vince catered to
celebrity. Oh, hell yeah. I thought he was going to lose. I was one of the first ones that thought he was going to lose. And they did that shit.
I was so pissed about that because I'm like, damn, this is Bam Bam Bigelow LT again.
Oh, God. Oh, that pissed me off so much back in the day.
Hold up. I got a sports, it's a sports alert.
That's my point, though.
I got
that's
a sports alert.
WWE
hold
does.
On. Sports score alert. L.A. Rams is beating the Tampa Bay Bucks 27-3.
Okay, no, 27-6.
Oh, 6, whatever. They ain't getting shit. That's what it is.
I got the game on right now, though. So I'm like, no, they got 6. They got the ball, too. Brady's trying to do something, though, but no. But, they're down by 21.
Yeah, it's only the third quarter. He could come back.
Yeah, it sounds like a hard row to hoe, though.
Man, his wife looks
like
a... Anyway,
if the Rams win this game... if the Rams win this game, the home team would be 0-3 so far in the playoffs going into the Buffalo-Kansas City game.
Yep.
Let me rephrase that. It will be rather difficult for them to come back from that deficiency. When we start talking about roads and hoes, that's probably a bad thing for me.
But
anyway, yes, right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I almost got a different road when we get to this wrestler thing. I just think it's cool that all of us get to this point, because this is how you make a brotherhood, man. I mean, this is what wrestling fans about, being brothers. I love this shit. Also, a little bit of news. I sat up there and we're talking about that. We were thinking about a project. We're gonna go through with this project. All of the independent federations, and then I'm gonna post this on Facebook too. There are some I've already contacted, and they are very interested in us doing this. I got about three or four of them already. But, of course, there's promotions we don't know. I don't know every single promotion in Indiana. I don't. So, if you have a promotion out there, if you know an independent promotion out there that would like to have a documentary done on them to show where they came from, how they started, things of that nature. Let us know who they are. We'll reach out to them and see what's going on, you know. But we already got three. I know we definitely got three in the lineup already and waiting on a fourth. So, I mean,
so
come
start,
on, let us
we
know.
Start hitting them up in March. You want to start in March, though, right?
March or April, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got a couple of them that's already interested. Yeah, like, yeah, definitely. So it's about to be a good trip. It's about to be some good trips going on. So, guys, pay attention for that. And now we have arrived at the time. That's right, next Saturday. Well, it's coming up Saturday.
Yeah, next Saturday.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Well, yeah. I might be going home for that. My little godson, I'm going back to Chicago to watch the Royal Rumble with my godson because he enjoys that stuff when I'm there. And that's probably going to be a highlight of my weekend.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. I am off that day. So I got 2 days in a row off.
Nice.
So I'm going to go get my hair cut, come to the house, and probably be disappointed the whole night. Remind me this girl
well,
I was dating.
Like
but
I
anyway.
Said, when we do predictions, I mean, I'm gonna have a dual prediction. I'm gonna have what I want and what I think is gonna happen.
Well, we're about to get there right now because it's time.
All right,
we're gonna be talking about Royal Rumble. This card they got going on. I don't understand this, but we're gonna make two categories for you, Tony. Tony want, Tony prediction.
Yeah, right. But I want it, and what they gonna book?
So, we have the Women's Royal Rumble listed first. So far,
okay.
Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, Rhea Ripley, Nikki Ash, Brie Bella, Nikki Bella. What?
Are you? You didn't hear? Then,
oh,
okay,
my God. Oh, no, no. I can't watch this. They're going to have the Bella Twins on it? Are you serious?
Yeah, they're bringing the Bella Bits to that.
Are they both cleared? I thought that Nikki had her neck fused and that she couldn't wrestle anymore. Did she have, like, the same surgery Edge did or something?
I'm not sure though, but she could, I mean, I don't think they're gonna do a lot with Nikki in the Royal Rumble. They'll probably hide her for a little bit and then eliminate her.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, she hasn't had any ring time, so she's not really going to be in there for too long. I don't think it's just the appeal.
Well, okay, honestly, the Women's Royal Rumble is going to be a big clusterfuck, to be honest with you, because they're pulling out every single name they could pull out because they don't have enough women on the roster to even equal up to the 30 women they need for this shit.
Well, they are bringing in Mickie James from Impact, and they were making a big deal out of that until she lost the Knockouts title.
She lost it?
Wait a minute, huh?
I thought she did, didn't she?
I don't remember her losing. I think she still got it.
Oh, okay. Well, if the WWE had to open the forbidden door at all in order to get enough women into the Royal Rumble, then
that's the sad part about it. Cause, like, Vince don't want to bring any women from NXT into the Royal Rumble. He wants to keep it this Raw, SmackDown, and other women they bring in, which I just think is crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I don't know. I'm looking at this list and all these. I know what I want to happen, but I honestly can't pick out what's going to happen because, again, it's WWE.
Well, I'll make a prediction here. I'm saying that we're either going to have Bianca win it and go to Mania, or we're going to have Asuka come back and win it. And then
So is that your prediction or what you want?
I want Asuka. I'm predicting Bianca.
Okay.
Okay. Tony?
Man, when I say my prediction, the only reason I say this prediction is because if they go this route, which would be the smart route to do, because I don't think the women division... The fact that you can't even fill a rumble, meaning you don't need two women's divisions. My prediction is Charlotte. My prediction is Charlotte. Charlotte wins the Royal Rumble and tells Becky Lynch. My hope is Doudrop.
Oh, are you serious?
I would love for Dude Drop to win.
Oh, dude, you like my brother, man. That's who I want to win, too, is Dude Drop. I love Dude Drop.
And I'm hope, like, the way they're pushing her, I hope they don't drop the ball with it, though. That's what I said, like, last Raw, she looked good. Like, they made her look good. But we know WWE.
And that's what I was about to say. She's not the beauty queen. Now, they might shock us, though. And they could say, oh, well, we heard you about, you know, having more variety of women, so here you go. Becky Lynch drops that darn thing.
Now, there's one point of contention here. I believe that Piper Niven is a lovely woman. Piper Niven is a good-looking woman. It's just she's big, you know. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I would not cry if Doudrop gets the Duke. But I'm thinking that they're getting desperate to get the women's division a little bit more. Recognition, and so they may bring Asuka back and have her win it just to have that happen.
No, I definitely do see Asuka coming back. I don't know if she's gonna win it, but I definitely see her coming back for the Rumbles. I also see a little fucking bitch Bailey coming back too. I'm sorry for dropping that pun.
I'm gonna say Mickie James for my prediction, even though I want Doudrop to win so badly. Oh, God. I wish I was a belt around the waist. But anyway, even though Doudrop, I would love for Doudrop to win. They're not putting Mickie James in there for no reason. First of all, they got to apologize to what they did to her before. remember, she got her stuff sent home in garbage bags. You know, I mean, it was a real PR screw-up. So to make up for that PR screw-up, I think they're going to go ahead and give her the win to come back in WrestleMania. And even if she has the Impact title, she will come back at that time. I think it's going to be a PR stunt to where they're going to go ahead and...
It'll be huge for Impact. Ooh.
Exactly. That's my point. They're going to go ahead and give Impact a boost because they think, okay, well, AEW did this. We really going to give you a boost of viewers, you know. And that little side nibble is going to work to try to go against AEW. I'm kind of torn because I do want Bianca to win too to get some retribution for what she went through. I just don't see it happening. And Doudrop should Bianca and Doudrop should be the two, but unfortunately it's going to be Mickey James. And then they're going to carry this all the way to WrestleMania, and it's going to be the big storyline. WWE opened the forbidden door. Oh, my God. Get the lotion out. I mean, it's...
I just hope you're right.
I don't. And this is why. WWE cannot come up with an original thought to save their own damn life. Everything they have, I mean, I'm just being 100% honest. Anything they have done throughout the years has been copied from someone. Think about this. The suck it chops and the suck it chant thing, they didn't make that up. DX didn't make that up. That came from Mexico. A lot of things that make, you know, that made WWE popular carrying on, they got from WCW. They can't even breed their own wrestlers. They got to get it from other places to go ahead and fit into their scheme. They are always copying off of somebody, but because they had the biggest marketing team and more money, they can hide that fact unless you look at it closely.
ECW was what brought on the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, ECW was hardcore in 93 and 94, long before Austin started doing Stone Cold. So, you're right in that the creativity... The reason that the Forbidden Door thing is happening with Impact is because they want to... They want to play the... we can also do that game. And that's pretty much where it's going. And I don't think it's going to go very far, honestly.
I don't think it will in the end, but I think they're doing it because what they want to do is get people to say, well, WWE is the biggest, more well-established company. It's going to be like Nintendo back in the day. Sign with us. Don't work with them. You can have your people on our program anytime, and I can advertise who you are. I think that's what they're going to try to do, and it's going to backfire. You don't remember the Nintendo console thing and the big controversy about that when they came out, don't you? Do you?
Vaguely, but I wasn't a big gamer.
Let me go ahead and explain this real quick to some of the audience out there, and then we'll get back into these matches. Back in the 1980s, I'm a big video game dude. I've done a couple of games that a lot of you listeners would be shocked as hell that I was on. I have worked in the video game industry for a little bit. Let's just say one of the most popular games in the world. Because Midway was right there on California. You know, that was nothing to go on the north side and do the thing. But Nintendo, back in the day, was not the only system out there that was cold. It was actually a better gaming system out there. It was actually called the Sega Master System. It was before the Genesis. The Sega Master System was just like the Nintendo, only it was black, brown, and it had its own eight-directional pad. It had an eight-directional pad instead of four like Nintendo. It had a better processor. It had more colors. And they also, and I don't know if you guys will remember this or not, they had a card slot to their thing. So not only did you take cartridges, it was a card
for the memory card
in and
like
play
the
video
card
games.
One?
Yeah. Yeah, like what was that? It was a motorcycle game. Oh, God. No, no, that's Nintendo. Excitebike was Nintendo.
Okay.
Hang On. That's what it was. Hang On was a Sega game. And Hang On came on a card. Another game that came on the cart was a video game that nobody could ever duplicate, and I wish they would bring it back, was Outrun. I don't know if you remember back in the day where if you would go into a game room, it was a big red car that you would sit in and drive, and you would go through and choose which side you wanted to go, and it was a different stage. That was Outrun. The colors on that came from Sega. Well, what Nintendo did was like, okay, well, we got these developers making these games. How are we going to lock up the market? Because Sega was really getting the eye out. I actually had both systems, and I did prefer the Sega. Legend of Zelda, see, Nintendo reminds me of WWE a lot, because guess what? The Legend of Zelda is actually a copy from another game that Sega made. It's called Govelius. The dude was a little dude, a little knight with blue hair that walked around a world finding objects, trying to get past and save somebody. Nintendo.
Why do I feel like a kid right now? You about to tell me there's no Santa?
You said what?
Why do I feel like a kid right now that you about to tell me there's no Santa?
Oh, I might break your heart when I tell you this, but it's true.
You know, I mean, like Zelda was my game back in the day.
No, Zelda was a copy. Govelius was awesome. Govelius had a music track that was out this world. Govelius was crazy. And it was the same exact concept. And Nintendo saw what they were doing. And they actually almost got caught for paying somebody off that was working on the project and made Zelda. And then they made it, let's get some attraction to it and where people would want to buy us because optical it looks better. That's why they came in the gold case. Because you look at the gold case of Zelda, you look at the black and red case of the Sega Master System, and this gold case looks kind of cold. I'm gonna get this. You know what I'm saying?
The gold case is cold as hell. Like none of them had that case.
Nobody ever came back with it. No. Nintendo down the road did this. They saw Sega was gaining some steam
to make it work.
Yeah, but this is what Nintendo did when they saw that Sega was gaining steam. What they did was with the cartridges, whenever you put a video game on a cartridge, there are certain codes and permissions that you can put on there or allows or not allows when Nintendo or whatever gives you the cartridge because the cartridge don't have the label on it. The cartridge don't have nothing but the little chip in it where you put it into the thing and it loads up the programming. Well, people started asking because if you remember, there was a gap a little bit of Nintendo games coming out. And it was like, what is this? We can't load our games on here. Well, Nintendo said, oh, yeah, by the way, our new cartridges has a code to them. Now, this is what you could do. You could pay X amount of money, which the developers would have made nothing, and make games for any system you want. Or you can sign an exclusive contract with us, and we'll give you the code to put the games on for free. That's why, all of a sudden, Nintendo had thousands of games and Sega Master System died on the side.
Okay.
Ah. Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
It sucks.
It's a shady business tactic, but Nintendo turned out to be a shady company. So I see the comparison, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, dude, you just don't know how much fun I had with that Sega Master System. And if that would have took off, if everybody would have got their eyes on it, they would have just fell in love. But, you know, it sucks.
Hey, we got 20 more minutes, and we got more predictions to do.
Yes. Next match, Men's Royal Rumble.
Okay, I'll go first.
Anyone,
because for me, because I only have one pick for this, Big E.
Mm.
And part of the reason I only have one pick for this because we only know like 10 people in it, though. But for me, it's Big E. Like, this would be Big E. Big E to win the Rumble. Big E to be challenging for the titles. It just makes sense to me. Especially Drew McIntyre out of it because it's next. It should be Big E.
Mm. Well, I tend to agree with that. The thing is, the men's Rumble is going to be one of the hardest things to predict because they haven't announced a whole lot of names.
Yeah,
and
they
anything
like 10 out of 30.
Yeah,
anything
more names
coming
to this thing. Yeah, and they're doing that deliberately because they may pull something out of left field. But if anybody deserves to go to WrestleMania and fight either Lesnar or Reigns or somebody in between, then it would be Big E. So that would be that's about the best prediction I can make. But you never know what they're going to be able to do. Which that's one of the reasons why the Royal Rumble is like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good. So
the reason I'm going back to Chicago to watch it with my godson is the fact that Royal Rumble is that pay per view, in my opinion, the best pay per view of the year. I like Rumble more than Mania.
Nowadays, yes, I concur with that because
Rumble won't let you down like Mania will.
Yeah, because everybody that's important to the storylines and cards is in the Rumble match, and you can't predict it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say something shocking. I want Big E to win, but I don't see him winning. I think they're going to crap on him again. But I'm going to tell you a name that it's going to be one or two names. And either one of these two are going to win. It's going to be Walter. Or it's going to be Braun Breaker.
Really?
Okay. Walter, yes, I could see them maybe doing that, but it's too soon for Braun Breaker. Yes, he's really hot right now, but we're talking about a rookie winning the Rumble. Yeah, it's way too soon. In fact, I think it's too soon for him to be NXT champion.
I agree.
Ciampa should have retained.
Yeah.
But after a damn good match, but Tommaso Ciampa is the best thing that NXT has right now, and there was no reason for them to switch the title now. Switch it later, yes, but not now.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is the only reason why I'm saying this. They're trying to condense everything down right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a future for Lashley. I don't see a future. Who's the meathead? Lesnar already has his money. I'm just saying, he is a meathead. He already got his money, so he can leave and be fine. Heyman would be the one that would have to find something, and he could go to Roman Reigns. And then when you got Roman Reigns,
or he could go to AEW. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go there.
I don't see him going.
But this is the thing.
At this point in Heyman's career, I think he's content.
Yeah. But if you sit there and you look at this Braun Breaker, the NXT champion, gets this shot. They keep him off except select appearances on Raw or SmackDown. And then all of a sudden, he's the NXT champion going against a SmackDown or a Raw champion, and he wins,
as it
will be the first ever.
It
will be the first ever NXT.
I think it's too soon for him.
I don't think it's too soon. I think that I think with WWE's impatience, that's what's going to make it happen. Do I personally think it's too soon? Yeah. Business wise,
I
don't think it is.
I was about to say that. Like, it's too soon, and you know it's too soon. You just know WWE's impatient. But if you were
exactly.
in charge, you wouldn't book him. You wouldn't book him. That's going to do it. No.
No,
it's
I
too
wouldn't.
Soon.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, way too
Bobby, soon. you do have a point there. They are so desperate to find the next thing and the next big thing now that the monopoly is all but over, that it
mm-hmm.
is quite possible that they could strap a rocket to a Braun Breaker and turn him into the next Goldberg. And
yeah.
And from a business standpoint, that is probably the worst thing they could possibly do because the guy is a rookie, even though he is Rick Steiner's son, and he does have that ability. And they should have called him Steiner just let him be Rex Steiner, and he would have gotten over even faster.
They really
he will be.
Yeah, but I
he
see
be.
Your point in that
the
they
big,
may
the big bad booty nephew.
Oh, good Lord.
But no, actually, hold on. I can't say it's bad booking because guess what? They always change their name when they come from the NXT. So give him Braun Breaker now, and then when he goes to WWE, you can put Steiner on him where you sell him more shirts and more money.
No, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. Here's why that's not going to happen. Steiner's his real name. WWE changed their name. Like, Walter went to Gunther. The reason why they changed that name, WWE changed their name so they could own the rights to it. You can't own the rights to a real name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a very good point. But Bobby, I can see where you're coming from with that prediction.
But
all right, let's go to the next match because we're running out of time.
Oh, yeah.
Lashley and Lesnar. Rob.
Yeah.
Who you want to win and who you think will win?
I would like – we know that Lesnar is going to win, but what I'd really like is for both of them to knock each other the hell out and for Marco Stunt to run in and pin them both.
That would be the funniest shit on earth.
But, yeah, Lesnar.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, that's hilarious. That's a hilarious thought right there. I would love to see that.
Man, Tony,
go ahead. Tony, go ahead.
One of the champions going to lose their title on Rumble, and in my opinion, it should be Lesnar. I think it just make more sense for Bobby Lashley to take the title off of Lesnar. And it going to be with Roman Reigns. That makes sense. It is a better storyline. You keep Bobby Lashley looking strong. It ain't no shame for Lesnar to lose to Lashley. But realistically, though, we all know Lesnar's going to win this match.
Yeah. I want Lashley to win. I do. And I think they might do some more with Heyman to where he's going to laugh and say, hey, you lost with Paul Heyman. So I'm going to pick Lashley as an upset.
That'd be a huge upset. It'd be a wonderful upset.
But I think the storyline with Heyman will go further with him losing the title because now what are you going to do? He don't have the title. I'm the champ. You know what I'm saying? I done already fired you. Ha, 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 ha. You know, and him trying to redeem himself. You got to think about the story's running through the story. The interesting story is running through Heyman.
It is. It's a thousand running through Heyman, and I'll be honest with you, I absolutely love it. Like, I love this. The work that they're doing, I absolutely love, and I absolutely love it because of Paul Heyman.
Yes. All right, next one. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. I'm going to go first on this one because mine is easy. I could give a shit about either one of them, but I just think it's going to be Reigns.
Yeah. Yeah, we're coming up to WrestleMania time. They want Reigns in the main event because the whole creative team for WWE has the biggest hard-on for Roman Reigns, so yeah, he's going to win it. I'd love to see Rollins win it just so we could get a quality main event for the biggest stage in the game, but it's going to be Reigns.
Okay, well, I'm going to be the wild card on this here. Because we all know that Brock Lesnar is not losing, Roman Reigns dropping the title to Seth Rollins. It's going to end up being Roman and Brock at WrestleMania for Brock's title.
Well, the reason I think that Reigns is going to win is because I think that they want to make the biggest splash at Mania. So I think they want to put Lesnar versus Reigns with both titles. I think that's the direction they're going to go.
I don't think they want title versus title. I don't think they want to unify the titles. One of them is going to lose the titles this weekend or next weekend. Hmm. I don't think they want to unify them.
I'm going to say this because
that was never the plan. Because the only reason why Brock got the title right now is because Reigns caught COVID.
Well, you might have a point.
Let me say this: I actually thought of something that could be interesting, and that could actually sell more tickets if they did it right. And that's if both of them lost. If both of them lost. You could still have the Lesnar Rollins match that's going to sell out, period. You could have a championship match. You could have two championship matches, and your card will be more full. You're taking away from your card with both of them having the title. I actually would book it to where both of them lost.
I would love to see that, but... Go ahead.
I mean, the thing with that theory is, you're absolutely right, though, because the thing with, like, Reigns versus Brock at WrestleMania, you don't need a belt. You really don't.
Mm-mm.
It don't need to be for a belt. It don't need to be for one belt. It don't need to be two belts. I mean, no matter what it is, it's a draw because of Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, granted, the way that you guys are saying it, it would be a hell of a lot more interesting than what we're probably going to get. It's just, it seems to me like there'll be a blizzard in hell before Brock Lesnar goes into WrestleMania without a belt.
You have Brock take the title to WrestleMania, and then they Reigns take it off of him. That's exactly how it's going to go. Reigns already beat the record for the longest reign, and WWE's history is like, once you break that record, okay, we're going to take it off of you. You got the record. We're really not going to let it go too much longer.
Right. I don't know. Let's go to the next match. Next match is, oh, God. Becky Lynch.
This must be the Miz and Maurice.
Versus Doudrop.
Yeah, this is one of those who I pick and who I think.
Well,
okay, I'll go first.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, heart versus head, we're saying probably Becky wins it. But, yeah, I would really like to see Piper Niven get her hands on the belt. And it's possible that they might book it that way in order to build up something different for WrestleMania, but I'm thinking that they're going to keep it on Becky.
I agree.
Yeah.
Head says Becky. And I hate that shit. But I think it would be I think it'd make the road to WrestleMania a lot more exciting if Becky dropped the title. No, have Becky drop the title before the Women's Royal Rumble. Have her jump into the Rumble trying to earn a title shot. Like, have her try to fight to get the belt back. I think there's a better story. But it's gonna be,
I look at it like this. And see, this is, again, if this was my booking. And it seems like I make it a little bit more interesting than most of the WWE. You know how I said I wanted her to win the Women's Royal Rumble?
Mm-hmm.
I think if Doudrop won the Royal Rumble and she won her title, because they're going to unify the women's titles. It's two little women there. You can have Charlotte versus Becky.
Oh, you're on the same page as me. We're unifying them titles, so they don't need two titles for the women's division.
Not for the women's division, no. They're going to keep it for the men's, but not the women.
Yeah.
And I would like to see Doudrop get the title from Becky, and then all of a sudden she gets the title from Charlotte. I would like to see that. But, again, guess what? We're talking about the WWE. So, even though I feel like I'm going to have a pound of sand in my mouth after I say this, Becky Lynch is going to end up winning, but I want Doudrop to just beat her so bad. Oh, my God, I want Doudrop to beat her so bad. I want Piper to get that title and strut in there with her sexy thing. Anyway, yeah, Doudrop.
but I wouldn't be, no, but as we both hate that fucking dirty bitch, I wouldn't be mad at these two win for Becky because Piper just snapped and went ape shit on her, just beat the dog shit out of her to the point where they had
no, she don't even deserve the title, Dan. Screw that. No, I don't care about that. I want Doudrop to get it.
But
I don't care.
They're gonna unify the titles though. But I think they're gonna unify the titles with Charlotte and Becky. They're gonna put them to an event.
Yeah, unfortunately. And Piper Niven is gonna get screwed.
Yeah.
I wish I could apply for that job.
Like,
but anyway.
What sucks because like. She had a good showing last week on Raw. She was like the only one of the few bright spots.
Yes, she is. Anyway, yeah, we need to get off this match. Last match, which is probably going to be the main event. Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Miz and Maryse. Do we really got to talk about this? I mean, honestly, do we really got to guess who's going to win? I'm sorry. Maryse is the weakest link that you could have. I don't see Maryse doing anything in this match but try to sit there and scream. The Miz should not even think about even trying to lace Edge's boots.
But here's the crazy part.
I'm sorry.
And they built it up that way.
And that's what's making me think they're going to swerve, though.
As much as I hate to say it, I think that Miz and Maryse are going to win it because they are the stars of their own reality TV show, and they are trying to get the ratings up for that, and that's the only reason this match exists.
They were the stars of their own reality TV show when they lost to, like, that little bitch Nikki Bella and John Cena, too, though.
Mm-hmm. So who you picking, Tony, because we got 60 seconds left.
Edge and Beth.
That's who I want to win, but I got to say Miz and Maryse because they're doing it too much to where Edge and Beth is getting everything they want. It's got to be some type of payback on that.
I'm the opposite of you. Like, I think Miz and Maryse should win, but I think they're going to give it to Edge and Beth.
I hope so. But, guys, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the FTW Future Focus. We had a good time tonight. I got to ream somebody out, and we had a good set. So Guys, tune in next week, and we will be discussing the results of the Royal Rumble, which will be the day before the show. We will also be discussing some AEW news and things of that nature. We'll discuss some independence, and I do want to go for that New Wave Pro Show next week. So,
cool. Guys,
I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you definitely in the future.
You know it's all about the power!